spiritual strength. And I touched on this some, I believe, last Sunday. Maybe this past Wednesday, although this past Wednesday, the Spirit of the Lord just sort of led me in a little different direction. I want to tell you something, folks. You know, as a minister, you know, or teacher, or whatever it is that we do, if you're a teacher, if you teach the Word of God, if God's called you in to the fivefold ministry and he called you to be a teacher, you should always be prepared to teach. And whatever you do, you need to be prepared to do it. Even if you teach school, you need to be prepared when you go before your students. You need to be prepared. But I find, though, in ministry sometimes, or at least it happens to me from time to time, I'll pretty much have my notes in order the way I want to go. And how many of you know sometimes God will change that? Yeah. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes God will change that. And sometime he will send you off in a little different direction because there's something that he wants to tell his people. Praise God. And of course we are supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we're supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit, and we're supposed he's in charge. Do you know the Holy Spirit's in charge of this service? Amen. That's just the way I want it. Amen. I want him in charge of the service. So anyway, last week we dealt with some things that I won't go into this week, but you can listen to Wednesday's message. And I say I won't go into it unless, the Spirit of the Lord deal with me about doing it. Then I will. But developing your spiritual strength. I want you to turn, please, in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And as the Apostle Paul was about to close out this letter, in verse 13 of the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says, watch. Everybody say watch.
Watch.
Also, don't the Bible say we're supposed to watch and pray? Watch. We should all be watching. Amen. And what do you mean watching? I certainly don't mean watching TV. What I mean is being alert. Knowing what God has said and being alert that nothing catches you by surprise, or that you recognize the move of God, or that you recognize when God is speaking. But anyway, verse 13 again says, watch, and then it says, stand fast. Now, I'm reading from the New King James Bible. Yours may say the same thing a little different, but in the New King James Bible, it says, watch, stand fast in the faith. You see that? Watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be brave. Be brave. Be strong. Amen. I said amen. Be strong. We are told to be strong. So we should work at developing spiritual strength in our lives. We should work at being strong. Now, when the Bible tells us to resist the devil and he will flee from us, if we're going to resist him, we got to have something to resist him with. Don't you think for one split second that he's going to turn and run if you don't have anything? To whip him with. He's going to stand right there. And he's going to try his very best to bring you down. But when you have something that's stronger than him, he's going to turn and he's going to run. Which means then that we must be strong. We must be strong. And remain strong. Now, guys upstairs, I would like to read this same 13th verse from the New Living Translation of the Bible, New Living Translation. It says, be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Isn't it amazing? In this wicked world that we live in, God is telling us to watch or be on guard, to stand firm in the faith. Don't walk away from the faith. It is amazing to me. My wife was sharing something with me last night, I believe it was, how some folks are just walking away from the faith. They're walking away from Jesus Christ. Now, if you're born again and you listen and you attempted to walk away from Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you right now, that is the devil. That's not God. It don't matter what's going on around you. It doesn't matter what it seems like. God is still God. And he says, stand firm in the faith. Stay in faith. Don't you quit. Be courageous and be strong. Don't be a weakling. Hallelujah. Are you still here with me? Praise the name of the Lord. And I told you this before, and I'll just repeat it again. We want to talk about how this strength comes. You know, it's to be strong in the Lord and be strong, be courageous. Pastor, how do I do this? I've already covered this, but I want to give it to you again. Listen at this. Don't you ever back away from this. Your strength comes through your relationship and fellowship with Christ. Remember that? Remember me telling you that? Turn to 1 John. Matter of fact, the first chapter of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. Beginning at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. He's talking about Jesus. Now, this is the Apostle John here. Remember, he was one of the 12 disciples. that walk with Jesus, okay? And so right here, John is giving us a personal testimony. And he said, let me read it to you again. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, and they heard him personally, which we have seen with our eyes, they saw him, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also, now listen to this, grab a hold of this. Let me read verse 3 again. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, the Apostle John knew and understood fellowship. Matter of fact, he's known as the Apostle of Love. And history records the fact that John was persecuted. They even boiled him in oil, and they tried to kill him and couldn't kill him. They couldn't kill him. So they just banished him to the Isle of Patmos. I guess they figured he would starve out there. Didn't happen, did it? He wrote the book of Revelation. Can I tell you something? Don't you ever forget this. It ain't ever over until God says it's over. Did you hear what I just said? It's not ever over until God says it's over. Amen. So let's look at verse 4. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. These things we write to you, that your joy may be full. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. If you want joy, walk with God. Fellowship with God. Verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Praise God. Hallelujah. But now here's a warning to us. Here's a warning to the church. And we just, you know, we just can't act like verse 6 is not in the Bible. It's there. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, finish that verse. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Either we are in fellowship with him, we're walking with him, we're seeking him, or something else is taking his place. God already told us. He says, I'm a jealous God. You shall not have any other gods before me. Amen. He says, I'm jealous. Don't have any other God before me. Don't put anything or anybody ahead of me. I am to be your number one. Hallelujah. But verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So strength comes through our fellowship with him. I want to tell you something. You need to have a conversation with God every day. You need to talk. Listen, you need to talk to God every day. Even on your job, you can talk to God. That doesn't mean you got to be distractive or not doing your job. I mean, that's not a good testimony. While I'm on that subject, let me just go ahead and say this. If you are a Christian, if you are a believer and you have a job, do your job. Work. If you are being paid to work, work. Don't hide out in the bathroom. Because don't you think for one minute that the sinners are going to listen to you and you're not even doing what you are supposed to do. Well, Pastor, you know, I've been praying and believing for my boss man or my boss woman or my supervisor. I want to see them get saved. Yeah, but if they watching you not do your job, that's not going to help matters. Amen. How many of you want me to get off that subject? One thing I've learned about you folks, y'all have really grown wise. I almost said wild. That's not what I meant. You have really grown wise over the years because, you know how some folks, you just, you don't even finish your sentence and their hand's already up. Y'all don't shoot your hand up anymore like you used to. I can't catch y'all like I used to. Y'all got wise on me, so amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on. Glory to God. So I was reading, verse 7? For if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Look at verse 9. I'm so glad that's in the Bible. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen to me, and then we're going to move on further. If there's anything in your life that hinders your fellowship and your intimacy with God, we have 1 John 1:9 to go to. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. You know what? God never stops loving us. I think I need to say that again because, see, the devil will tell you that he don't love you. The devil will tell you he can't wait to cast you into hell. That's a lie. God loves you. Even if you are living in sin, God still loves you. He don't like what you're doing. He don't love what you're doing. But if you are a sinning believer, you have 1 John 1:9. All you have to do is go to him, confess your sins before him. Don't try to hide it. One thing God requires of us is that we be honest with ourselves and honest with him. Y'all hear me? He don't want to hear none of this. Well, Lord, you know, I am kind of sorry, Lord, that I got upset, and I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I said that wasn't nice, and Lord, I shouldn't have said such and such to my wife, and you know, Lord, but you do understand how that woman is. Now, see, I want to let you know, Lord, it would have never come to that if she would do what she supposed to do. You understand what I'm saying, Lord? I mean, she get on my last nerve. Now, I'm just using my wife as an example. Let me make it clear, because I don't, no lies out there. My wife does not get on my last nerve. I have a beautiful wife, a wonderful wife. I'm a blessed man. I said that publicly. It's the truth. Amen. But I'm talking about sometimes we make excuses for acting the way we act. We make excuses for saying some of the things we say when God wants you to shut up and just tell the truth. You sinned? Fess up. You were wrong? Fess up. And then I'll be faithful and just to forgive you of those sins, and I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You'll be like brand new again. You got to be honest. See, we live in a world now where folk like to make excuses. If you don't believe it, watch a little TV, especially on some of these newscasts, how people want to make excuses for who they are or what they are. We need to just come clean. I had to go before God and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And before you can ever get saved, you got to acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. We don't want to get saved acting like, well, I'm just doing Jesus a favor. I'm doing my neighbor a favor, my church member a favor, just so they'll leave me alone. I think I just go ahead and pray the prayer with them. No, you got to realize that you need a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. We don't want to live a life of deception, being deceived, thinking things that are not so, making excuses. Everybody say excuses. Making excuses rather than repenting. Amen. I said amen. When we do that, God says, I'm on the scene. I forgive you. And I put you in a position, a condition rather, where you are righteous just as if you have never sinned. God is good, isn't he? Amen. So, we're going a little while longer. So your strength does come through your relationship and your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Your strength also comes from, this is number two, from your approach to the Word of God. How you approach the Word of God. We must receive it, and we must agree with it. Doesn't matter how we feel, what we've been taught. If what we've been taught is contrary to what the Bible says, then we must make a decision. I'm going to agree with what God says. Hallelujah. How can two walk together except they agree, or that they be in agreement with one another? And of course, I'm here to tell you that we have to agree with God. God's not going to agree with us, because his ways are higher than our ways. You still with me? His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God is always right. We are not always right. So when we make a decision that I'm going to agree with God, I'm going to agree with what he has said, we put ourselves in a good position. You're in a good position. So you receive the word and you agree with the word. Write this down. My strength comes from what I know. My strength comes. Or you can say it this way. My strength comes because of what I know. Or as a result of what I know. I heard a preacher say one time, I never forgot this, years ago. He says, it's what you know that makes you go. It's what you know that makes you go. Hallelujah. It's what you know. You got to know something. You still here?
Amen.
I say you got to know something. All right. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 11. I think I want to begin reading at verse 11. Yeah. Verse 11. To which I was, I tell you what, I'm going to back up to verse 8. It says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his, of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Look at verse 11. To which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul, again, writing to Timothy, he says, I have been appointed by God to be a preacher and to be an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. By the way, let me say this about that. You don't become an apostle or a teacher or a pastor or an evangelist or a prophet just because you want to. Y'all hear me say this a good bit, but it's important. You don't become it because you want to. You don't become one of those ministry gifts just because it's going to cause people to give you more respect or more money. No, you don't. Paul says, let me read it. He says, I was appointed a preacher. I was appointed an apostle. I was appointed a teacher to the Gentiles. In other words, he was sent by God. He was called by God. Okay? All right. Now that I've established that, let's look at verse 12. He says, for this reason. In other words, he was saying, because of my appointment. You still with me? Because of my appointment, I suffer these things. Sometimes when you're called by God, well, you know, or just living for God, you know, Christians suffer. Sometimes there is suffering. But what we, too many times we think it's sickness and disease. Well, God's got me suffering. God threw cancer on me to make me suffer and to teach me something. No, he didn't. If he did, I had cancer 10 years ago, close to 11 years ago. I'm going to tell you one thing. I didn't learn a thing from it. But what I did do, I went to the Word of God. And I began to quote the Word of God. By his stripes, I have been healed. Jesus himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I went to the Word of God. I wanted a touch from God in my body because I knew God didn't send me cancer. Can I ask you a question? Why would God do that anyway when Jesus already said, my sheep know my voice? So then if we know his voice, then why can't he just speak to us? If he got something he want to tell us, just speak to us. Tell us. And he will. He'll speak to us through his word. You still here? I got to move on because I got to let you folks go. Now he said, for this reason, I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Now I like what he's about to say next. Pay special attention to this. Remember I told you strength comes from what you know? Now, Paul said he has suffered. But he says, I'm not ashamed, for I love this, for I know, everybody say no.
No.
Come on, say it again.
No.
For I know whom I have believed. Can you say that?
Yes.
Is that your testimony?
Yes.
Right in the middle of whatever you may be dealing with, you can shout, I know in whom I have believed. For I know whom I have believed. And listen at this. And I am persuaded. Everybody say persuaded. I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. God is more than able to keep me. God is more than able to heal me. God is more than able to deliver me. God is more than able to meet my needs. I know and I am persuaded. See, brothers and sisters, we got to get it to the place where we know it. We know it. We don't have to be like Thomas was. We can believe God. I know it. I am persuaded that he's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. And listen, when you get to that point, the devil's in trouble. Because he can't stop you. You hear me? He cannot stop you. When you become persuaded that God is with you, when you become persuaded that God is keeping you, it doesn't matter what voice comes your way. You will not be moved. You can sing the old song that I used to hear as a young boy in the church. I shall not be moved. Like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Having done all to stand, I'm going to stand. I shall not be moved. For I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is my keeper. Then you become hard to handle. You. Glory to God. And you can get to that place. Praise God. You know, we choose, and I'm getting ready to close. We choose to agree with the word of God when it comes to prosperity. When it comes to healing. We choose to agree with God's word. We choose to agree with God's word. But now, here's what I'm saying as I get ready to close. You got to put it into practice. You got to put it into practice. In other words, you got to take possession of it. One more scripture reference I want to give you. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1, the very first chapter of Deuteronomy, real quick. Let me separate my pages here. Deuteronomy chapter 20, chapter 1. And I want to close out with this verse, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 8. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them. And this is what I want to leave with you. You know in whom you have believed, and you are persuaded that he's able to keep you. Now go get what belongs to you. Go get what belongs to you. Whatever the devil has stolen from you, you go get it back. Let me say that again. Whatever the devil has stole from you, you go get it back. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that faith without works is dead. And I made a decision years and years ago that what God has for me is for me. And I'm going after it in the name of Jesus. Let me say that again. What God has for me is for me. I'm going after it. Praise God. Praise God. And when you make that decision, you become strong and the enemy cannot stop you. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word that will never return to you void.